You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, before we officially jump into today's episode, Will, I have you on the phone. I'm here at work. We have to talk about the review that we saw last night, which was The World Goes Round, The Songs of Candor and Ebb at Freud Playhouse on the UCLA campus, presented by Reprise 2.0.
Hey, Lara. I am still tapping my toe and singing all the songs that I loved all the music. I love Candor and Ebb music. And like I said to you yesterday, it felt like it was like a required history class for musical theater lovers.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
They had their own unique style. And it was so cool to see. And this is a smaller theater than, say, the Pantages, much more intimate. And it was set up kind of like a nightclub. So I was saying, well, I think I put this on Instagram, that we could practically see their tonsils when they would belt. And we were like, we weren't in the very front. We were halfway back.
Yeah. I also have to say that Valerie Perry was wonderful. I loved seeing her. She was a wonderful guest, and she did not overstate when she said how lovely the cast was and how talented everyone was. Particularly, I loved Kelly Dorney and that Michael Starr. He was incredible. I mean, the whole cast was wonderful, but I'd never seen either one of these folks before, and they were both really, really great. Well, it was a wonderful night.
Everybody had their moment to shine. Everybody got to sing a lot. And I loved hearing everyone sing All That Jazz, because they really didn't change it up all that much, which made a fan like me happy, because I don't want to hear it totally differently, but I don't want it exactly the same. And Valerie broke my heart when she sang Colored Lights. For me, it took me a little bit to get into this. Like, the first act I thought was okay, but the second act was really, really good. It was almost like a different show.
I definitely liked the second act better. And I particularly enjoyed choreographer John Todd's choreography. Like, we threw in tap dancing.
Yeah.
There was really great choreography. It was very effective choreography, because you have to choreograph to their abilities. And he made them all look great. It was really, really great.
It was great. The World Goes Round, Freud Playhouse, UCLA, Reprise 2.0. You can check out Reprise 2, and that's the number 2, reprise2.org for ticket info.
Yay!
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway. I'm celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong, along with radio host, writer, and theater enthusiast Lara Scott. We're very excited to be chatting with Sarah Bockle of Beautiful, the Carole King musical, and James Chow of a new musical, Tenor in the Night.
But first, casting for Grand Hotel, the musical from Reprise 2.0 has been announced. And the musical, by the way, is based on Vicki Baum's 1929 novel and also the 1932 MGM feature Grand Hotel. And this is awesome. You got Sharon Lawrence from NYPD Blue, Hal Linden from Barney Miller, Maxwell Caulfield from Grease 2, and Jonah Platt, who I just saw as Beast in Lithgow Family Panto's Beauty and the Beast, A Christmas Rose. Grand Hotel runs October 24th to November 4th at UCLA's Freud Playhouse. And you can find out more at reprise2.org, and that's reprise, the number 2.org.
Lara, Cupcake Studios in North Hollywood has extended the run of Dreamgirls, now playing till September 30th. Tickets are available at cupcaketheater.com. And if you have a moment, check out their About section on their site. It's pretty amazing how the theater came into existence, and we have got to get the founder on here as a guest.
I'm so hungry hearing about that. Are they selling cupcakes there? Is it shaped like a cupcake? I'm picturing like a cupcake you walk into.
This gentleman was, he had a successful chain of cupcake stores in Atlanta, and was actually on Cupcake Wars and won a ton of money, and then sold his businesses and bought a theater.
that's a whole story right there. I mean, that's the dream. And now it's Cupcake Theater. How fun. Well,
it's a little slice of heaven.
A little, it is. Yeah. A little gem in North Hollywood. All right, so Beautiful, the Carole King musical, tells the inspiring true story of Carole King's rise to stardom, from being part of a successful songwriting team, a lot of people don't know that about her, to becoming one of the most successful solo acts in pop music history. Now, the show was here in L.A. a few years ago, but I wasn't able to see it that time around. I heard everybody saying how good it was. Will, have you seen it?
I have not seen it either, and I'm dying to. I can't wait for it to get here in September 13th at the Pantages Theater. And playing the role of Carole King is Sarah Bockle. Sarah is returning to the role on tour, and she was also a performer on the Broadway cast in the ensemble, and then she was brought up to the starring role, and we're going to connect with her right now.
Awesome. Let's bring Sarah in with a round of applause. Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome, Sarah.
Yay!
Thank you so much for taking the time. We know you're super busy. You're in Denver right now. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Amazing. How's that?
In the altitude.
How's the tour going in Denver?
Sorry, I just dropped the phone.
Not a problem.
I love that. Will was saying, how do you like it in Denver?
Oh, it's great. It's amazing. You know, everyone's kind of getting used to the altitude with singing and dancing.
Exactly.
So everyone kind of looks, you know, haggard at the end of the night, but we're adjusting. We're very excited to come to L.A.
We're excited to have you. I did the national tour of Victor Victoria years ago, and we opened in Reno, and we had oxygen tanks in the wings.
What?
Yeah, because...
Yep, we have the same. We have the exact same.
Crazy.
And we actually also were in Reno last year, and it was the same way for us. So, but of course, you know, nobody wants to be the first person to use the oxygen tank.
Well, once you get to LA, you'll be able to do like two shows back to back, right?
Exactly.
You guys will be in such great shape. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Everything's going to feel like a piece of cake.
Yeah. Well, you know, the posters are up all over LA. You'll
sure
be driving
are
down like La Cienega Boulevard, you know, these legendary streets.
Oh,
and there it is for Beautiful. And we wanted to ask you about, I mean, you're portraying this legendary figure. Have you actually met Carole King? And what's that like portraying somebody who's still alive who can actually come and see you do this?
I have. I've actually been lucky enough to meet her twice.
Awesome.
She's never seen me do Carole, which is fine with me. I understudied the our first two Carols on tour, Abby Mueller and Julian Eitel, and she came both times to see each new Carol. And she's incredibly gracious and kind, and just, you know, like she signs autographs for anybody that's, you know, when she came, she actually lives on a farm in Idaho. And so when we were in Boise, she came down to see us, and a bunch of us had some of her records, and she signed them for us. So I actually have a signed
That is amazing.
Carole King record, that I have, you know, on my mantle now.
She is just such a delightful, iconic, incredible, down-to-earth celebrity who has impacted music in such a profound way, and in ways that most people don't realize, which is why I love that the show exists.
Yes.
To say, hey,
I know.
Like, it's more than just the earth moving under your feet.
I was just thinking of that. So I heard that playing in my head, Will, just as you were saying that.
Well, I first fell in love with Carole with the musical Really Rosie for Children, and all of the great songs from that. But it just, she's just touched so many lives, and particularly, I was thinking about how impactful and wonderful with the when she was honored at the Kennedy Center with the recent passing of Aretha Franklin, and just watching Carole sit in the balcony, just being delighted with her performance and being so touched and honored by such an iconic woman singing such an iconic song. It's just incredible.
Wasn't that incredible just to see like how effervescent she is and how joyful she is to see, I mean, obviously Aretha Franklin singing your music, but just like, I just loved the respect and admiration that they both showed for each other, you know, like blowing kisses to each other and Aretha like mouthing thank you to her on the stage. It's just like such an incredible moment with two, you know, icons.
Exactly. And I imagine that you must feel the same kind of reverence or responsibility with handling this music.
Yeah, I absolutely. And, you know, everyone that comes to the show and typically is a fan, or hopefully is going to be a fan, is being brought by a fan. And because she is so, like, people are so personally connected to her music. But, you know, the way that I kind of, like, talk myself down, you know, off the cliff of, like, fear and pressure is, mm-hmm. you know, 'cause I'm a fan too, and I'm just so excited to sing the music for other fans, you know, and have us all enjoy it together.
100% exactly. Like, and, yeah. and the ensemble, like, as far as we were connected through my wonderful friend, Gabrielle Reed, who I was just like, do you know anyone in Beautiful that wants to do our show and help promote the, and she's like, I can connect you with Sarah. And I was like, no way. Really?
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to her, and I'm so proud of her and her journey. And I worked with her for a number of years, and I loved working with her. And it's just like, I imagine that the cast of Beautiful is just loaded with incredible personalities. And what's it like to travel with the company?
It's wonderful, and especially we had our, you know, our first days of rehearsal these last 2 days, being all back together again, and we only have a couple new people, which shows a lot. You know, everybody wanted to stay, you know, for the most part, which says a lot. And it was just so good to have everybody back in the room, because everybody wants to be there. Everybody believes in the show. And, you know, I was with Gabs just for a couple weeks on Broadway, and she was just so welcome. Everyone was so welcoming, you know.
Exactly.
So many shows can get clicky, and people get, you know.
Yeah, it becomes old hat, and they're just like doing their job,
yeah.
and they're on their grind, making that shmoney. But like,
exactly.
It's
the job, yeah.
But this show is so special and so wonderful, and the music is so incredible. I just imagine it just like it's the soundtrack for your life right now.
Now it is. Oh my God. First of all, she follows you everywhere. Like,
yes.
Every Walgreens, every mall, it's Earth Move, or, I mean, Natural Woman or whatever. It's mm-hmm. she, you hear her music everywhere. Once you're in the show, we send each other videos, you know, of us walking along and, you know, in the mall or whatever.
It could be like a hashtag for that. Yeah.
Have you played Los Angeles before?
I have. I was with, when the tour was here the first year with Abby, I was on it. Mm-hmm. And so we got to be in LA for a month,
awesome.
Which was amazing.
What are some of your favorite things about performing in Los Angeles?
The audiences are incredible. Mm-hmm. I was actually shocked, because I felt like, I was like, LA, man, this is a film town. Like, who cares about musicals? Nobody's going to want to see this. It's not real. It's not like, you know, high art. It's, you know, nobody, this is going to be terrible. And we had the most incredible audiences. Like, people were so excited, and we got such incredible reactions. We got great reviews. It was awesome. I also really like that you can bring dogs everywhere.
Yes.
Which is cool. And just like healthy food. I had a little too much fun there, because I was like busting out of my costume. just like with like late night food and drinks. And there's this, I can't remember what this bar is called, but I can't wait to go back there. It's like across the street from the Pantages.
Is that the W?
I hope
it's like Bob's Frolic Room.
It's not,
is that?
It's not the W. It's more of like a by itself bar.
Oh, cool.
It's nice, and it's dark, and it had just really good cocktails, and I want to go back there. And then it had a whole open area in the back outside.
Oh, that sounds fun. If you think of the name, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check
we'll plug
it
them.
Out.
Yeah, I will. I will, definitely.
Yeah. Well, we have a very...
it again.
We have this important question for you, Sarah, because we heard that you're from Chicago. Are you a Cubs
yes.
fan?
I am, of course. I like the Cubs and the Sox. I'm for everybody.
Very nice.
But I live on the north side, and I live not too far from Wrigley Field, so
cool.
I have to be a Cubs fan. My heart is in Chicago. I am based there. I still technically live there, even though I'm never there.
I know, right?
And yeah, it's where I grew up. It's where I went to high school, and I moved right back after college. And yeah, I just love it so much. I love the theater scene. I love the community. I love the city. Yeah, I love the lake.
Well, you're going to get a very warm welcome from everybody here in L.A. when
Absolutely.
You guys roll into the Pantages next week. We can't wait to see you starring as Carol King in yeah. Beautiful. And Sarah, we know you guys are rehearsing like crazy, so thank you for taking just a few minutes out of your schedule to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Safe trip.
Absolutely.
And
thank
we can't wait
so
to see you here in L.A.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh. We'll see you soon. Have a wonderful rest
okay.
of the weekend.
Oh, thanks. You too. And we'll see you at the Pantages.
Yay.
Thanks,
take care, Sarah.
Yay.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
I cannot wait for this show to get here.
I'm so excited. I want to listen to Carole King on my drive home today.
Oh, that's
like, pull up the greatest hits.
Yo, that's what I was doing on the way here. Like, it's just, and you forget all of the songs that she like had her hand in and that she created for so many people.
Yeah.
And just.
And it makes it that much better when you hear the song again after learning the story behind it. And you and I, well, it's so funny. Sometimes we know everything about a show before it comes. Like, mm-hmm. I knew everything about Hamilton and you knew nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. So, you know, this one I really don't know that much about, except it's her life story and it's going to be the music. So we can't wait to share with you our impression of the show after we see it. We will be there for opening night in about a week and a half from this taping, so we can't wait to see Sarah. She's going to be amazing.
I'm so excited, and I can't wait to get back to my home away from home, the Pantages Theater.
Yeah, and you can catch Beautiful, the Carole King musical, at the Hollywood Pantages Theater September 12th through the 30th. For tickets, just visit hollywoodpantages.com. You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
A big thank you to our friend Peter Goldman at Davidson & Choi Publicity for telling us about some really cool shows like Tenor by Night, which is having its world premiere at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood September 22nd and 23rd.
James Chow wrote the book, music, and lyrics for Tenor by Night, which is a fantasy musical loosely based on his own life story as a Chinese businessman who immigrated to the United States and overcame so many obstacles to live the American dream. He founded an internationally successful mannequin business, has a beautiful wife and two wonderful children, but he wanted more.
And that's a great place to pause and introduce James Chow himself. Welcome to West of Broadway. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We're so excited, and your show sounds so fascinating. What was your inspiration, and why did you decide to make it a musical?
Actually, it's a legacy from my family that passed down to me. My parents were lifetime musicians, and my brother is a tenor by profession. And so I have all this, musical background in the family, but I was a businessman. I've been doing business for like 20 or 30 years selling mannequins. We sell mannequins to Macy's and JCPenney's and Kohl's and many other major department stores. But in my leisure time, I would try to sing with my father and my brother, and we formed the Three Chow Tenors group, ensemble. So we perform a lot too. But then eventually I thought, wow, I want to have my own solo concert. So in 2013, I actually held my solo concert in Luckman Theater, Cal State LA. And after the concert, a lot of people congratulated me. But some people, they would say, James, your musical credential is not much there. And that comment made me feel kind of disappointed.
Of course.
But at the same time, I was determined to get my master's degree in music. So when I retired in 2015, at the age of 65, nice. I decided to go to study in CalArts.
Wow, so you went back to school at 65?
Yes. Yeah, because I originally was thinking, well, you know, I've been singing so many times in different concerts, but every time when I try to put some credential under my name, I there's not much I can put in there. No degree in music.
And now
so
you have it.
We're
going to
fix that.
Yeah. So my motivation at first, originally, was just to get a degree so that I can put my credential in my program for the concerts. But then when I was asked to submit my artist statement when I applied for CalArt, then I had a deeper thinking and like a more inspiration from my family and from my, I took a deeper look into my future. So I thought, well, it's too plain to say I just want to get a degree, right, in my my artist statement, right? So I thought maybe I should have a better goal, and that goal is to make a musical out of my concert.
Oh, I see. So you took all the music that you wrote that you performed in the concert and you set it to a story.
And it helped him get his degree.
Exactly.
It's like doing triple duty.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And so
yeah, exactly. That's like a one stone kill two birds, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
When I was singing for my solo concert in 2013, I didn't sing my own songs. So I would just cover other songs,
sure.
You know, the popular songs, mm-hmm. some opera arias, some Chinese folk songs, and some American songs and Italian folk songs. But I did have some story, you know, like narration by my wife in the concert. And she would come out, she would say, James, it's time to eat. And then I would say, no, I want to sing more.
And then, so cute.
My daughter would also come out and say, James, you are too loud. I do homework.
Like the daughter is telling the dad to be quiet. Well, yeah, usually it's the other way.
Right.
I love that you come from a musical family and you all work together. And I think that that's so fantastic. Why is this show called Tenor by Night?
Yeah, that's actually a very true story. In 1998. I was vacationing with my family in Yosemite, so I already started singing, you know, very crazily, I guess. So I would stand up on a high rock, and then facing the nature, I would sing "O Solo Mio." I was feeling so excited, so open to nature, then end the song in a high note. I was very satisfied with my own singing, but all of a sudden I heard someone passing by under the rock, and he's another tourist, a hiker, and he said that, keep your day job.
Oh, no.
He was yelling at me, keep my day job. And at that time, I wasn't sure if that's what he said and what does he mean.
Right.
So I talked to my children, what does it mean? Keep your day job. And then they said, well, that means you are not professional yet. So don't change your career. Oh, I felt a little bit disappointed. But then after a while, I thought, okay, maybe I'm the tenor by night. I keep my day job, but I'm a tenor by night. So that's how the name came from.
Brilliant. I hope that hiker hears this. And it's like, wait a minute, I remember that guy. Now he's doing a musical.
Exactly. And good for you for not letting things discourage you and you keep following your dreams. I feel like we're cut from the same cloth because I would be right up there on a rock singing to
nature,
Yosemite.
To the trees.
Like, that
yeah.
sounds like something I would do as well.
That's so wonderful. Well, James, it sounds like your family is very supportive. And there's this element of fantasy that we have heard is in Tenor by Night where you have mannequins coming to life, which is right. So cool. And then, but there's a part where your wife kicks you out of the house in the musical.
Yes, actually, when I was studying in CalArt, I told my professor in CalArt about my idea of making a musical. Her name is Lauren Pratt. And Lauren told me, you know, if you do a musical, you cannot just do singing and dancing, and that's like a vaudeville.
Right.
A musical needs a conflict, needs drama. And you need to present the conflict and then later resolve the conflict. So I thought, wow, my life has been very happy and lucky. What should I say in the musical? But the next day I went back to school and I presented my new idea. I told her, well, actually, I have some conflict in the family. I'm saying too much in the whole family could be annoyed with my singing. So I could make this musical into a fantasy. My wife would kick me out of the house, so I have to move to the mannequin warehouse to sing over there.
And
then
that.
The mannequins would come alive.
For singing too much in my house, I've been threatened to get kicked out too. And but I don't have a mannequin warehouse to run to.
Now that we know James, maybe you can come down there and hang out with him.
I love that it's augmented reality and that you had to create the conflict. So we just we just had a conversation with a young woman who's starring as Carole King in the musical Beautiful, and we were there's a gentleman named Kevin Gino who actually plays you in your production. Tell us about Kevin.
Yes, Kevin Gino is the James. He's the tenor by night.
He's the James.
Wonderful. And I bet you, and so you had to sign off and cast somebody in the role of you. So was it a very, you must have been very, very particular and demanded a lot for the role.
Well, yes, because the songs I wrote for this musical, I wrote 25 songs all together.
Wow.
I wrote the lyrics together with my wife, Lily, and so many songs, and about 10 of them are sung by the tenor, James, and that would be Kevin Gino. Mm-hmm. And because I love singing high notes, I put a lot of high notes in there. And actually, there are about 4 high Cs.
Exactly.
He's doing a great job for us.
Nice.
So we are very satisfied, yeah.
We also want to mention that Tenor by Night is the first major American musical composed by Chinese Americans. So, James.
Yes, thank you.
That's so fantastic.
I'm very happy to be the first one to compose for a musical for the Chinese community. But also, this show has a very good message. It's, I would like this musical go into the mainstream for everyone in America.
Sure.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.